Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today we have a very awesome person that I personally just met because of the CryptoCurrent conference, one of our keynote speakers, Mr. Sterling Lujan. Sterling, pleasure to have you today. Thank you for joining us on the show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here and join you, Richard. I'm really excited. This should be a little fun little conversation.
No doubt, man. And for everyone that was able to join us for the conference, we had a great time. Sterling led us off and opened us up, you know, talking about the history of money and how it relates to cryptocurrency and got a lot of great feedback. So again, I want to thank you for being a part of that. And yeah, if you're ready to go, we can dive on into this interview.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really enjoy giving that talk. It's one that I have a strong passion for, so it's really exciting to give it. Usually receives really good feedback, and I always augment it as I move forward. So absolutely.
Gotcha. Well, you definitely did a great job with it. But yeah, Sterling, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Can you give us some background and about who you are and where you got to today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll talk about this in the context of me getting into the cryptocurrency space and doing what I do and being a really strong opponent of the currency and just being in the space and loving everything about it. There's a philosophical reasons for this. So back in 2009, I was arrested, kidnapped by the state police in Texas for possession of MDMA and cocaine with intent to deliver and also with intent to manufacture. This was not a light amount of drugs. It was about 500 pills of MDMA and 26 grams of cocaine. So they were threatening me. They were threatening me. Yeah, it's pretty intense. They threatened me with 40 years in prison, at least the police did. And this occurred as a result of a raid. A partner of mine was caught selling cocaine to an undercover narcotics agent. So I was arrested. And then I was able to bond out for $8,000. Then a year later, before I even went to trial, I was arrested, kidnapped again. And this time it was for a conspiracy to engage in organized criminal activity, which was proof. Now, I want to rewind a bit and just talk a bit about how I got into this whole predicament. So in around 2000, I took MDMA. The drug that I had, which is also called ecstasy. Nowadays, people are calling it Molly on the streets. Anyway, this drug, I took it for the first time and it caused me to wake up to life. Beforehand, I was by going through the motions. I was basically like a zombie trying to figure out which direction I was going to go in my life, but really not focusing on it or caring about it. But the MDMA woke me up to the sense that I started to examine my past history, my traumas. And one of the most important things that happened was it really ignited this idea that I'm more intelligent than I've ever given myself credit for, because I was always pushed through the educational system. I wasn't ever really told that I was intelligent. So this MDMA pill really snapped me out of my malaise or the stupor that I was in. Now I wanted to live a genuine whole life. And the reason that I was selling MDMA and cocaine, primarily MDMA, was because I was wanting to help wake people up. I wanted to give it to my close friends and family to help them see another side of their life, because I thought the compound was so powerful for self-therapy and helping to heal people's wounds. So I was arrested, and what happened after I got arrested was I started thinking about philosophy. I started reading for the first time in my life, because I wanted to learn more. I wanted to gain more knowledge. I wanted more insight. So I read books on physics and philosophy, and economics and history, all types of books. And this really got me extremely interested in psychology out of all things, mainly because of what the MDMA pill did me on, the pill did to me on a cognitive and perceptual level. So I went back to school. I got my bachelor's degree in psychology because I took this drug, because I went through all of this nonsense with the law and government. And by the way, I ended up not going to prison. I got a really good attorney and ended up getting 10 years of deferred adjudication probation. So why I was on this whole path and wanting to do more with my life and help create change in the world, shift the paradigm, I also came into contact on, I started studying anarchism and libertarianism, of course, but I came into contact with people calling themselves crypto anarchists and cypherpunks. And this was around 2015. This was after I went to court, which was in 2009, and had been on probation for a while. And so early on, I heard about Bitcoin. I started writing about it and talking about it in 2013 as a tool of transformation that's going to help change the world. So it kind of went along with this story I was telling about myself, about really trying to become more and do more and create that change in the world and help spur a new paradigm and just be a catalyst for this. So I started talking about Bitcoin, how it can change the world. And then, but I didn't put my money where my mouth was. In 2015, I went to the Porcupine Freedom Festival in New Hampshire. And it was there that I got to use Bitcoin for the first time. And after I used Bitcoin, I thought, man, why haven't I actually just bought this yet? Why didn't I get deeply involved already? This 2015 was still pretty early. So I went back to my wife. I told her this was amazing technology. We're going to get in and go full tilt into the cryptocurrency ecosystem. So we bought some at the time. It was around $500. And then also early adopted the Steemit blogging platform, which is a blockchain platform, and started doing a lot of writing and a lot of my anarchist activism, my psychedelic activism, by writing posts. And I was getting paid essentially by a decentralized autonomous agency or entity through the process of what they call delegated proof update, which just means that people can upvote my content like they could on Reddit on the Steemit platform, and I got paid. And I did really well on this platform. I would post some posts and get paid $2,000, $3,000. And this was because very early on, there wasn't a large number of people using it, but the people who were popular, because there wasn't a large amount, they got a huge chunk of the blockchain rewards. Also during this time, I got on board with Bitcoin.com. And Bitcoin.com, just Roger Ver just started the company, and I started writing for Bitcoin.com as a crypto journalist. Did that for 2 years, and then sat down with Roger one day and told him I wanted to do more for the company. So he asked me what I wanted my title to be. So we created my job as a marketing person. And the title was actually called Communications Ambassador. So I was a communications ambassador, which is basically a brand guerrilla marketer for Bitcoin.com. I did a lot of public speaking and talks. And that's really what blew my career up in this space and has led to where I'm at now, where I mainly focus on both cryptocurrencies, and I'm still deeply embedded in this idea of creating as much freedom in the world as possible. And I also still talk a lot about psychedelics and helping people to evolve as individuals and go to the next level. So there's this inspirational element, I think, of what I do.
Gotcha. Well, first, wow, what a unique way to get into cryptocurrency. And along your journey, as you started to look into this movement and see how, you know, decentralization and blockchain and cryptocurrency as a unit could be beneficial to the agenda that you were trying to move forward, right? And speak on the different topics that you are passionate about. How did that begin to like weave together in your life, and you knew like, hey, this is a sector that I want to be a part of, and I want to move the conversation forward?
Yeah, I think the most impactful area of cryptocurrency that really let me know that this is going to be a transformational tool was just studying the people who originally envisioned cryptocurrency, which were the cypherpunks and the crypto anarchists. I read Timothy May's Crypto Anarchist Manifesto very early on, and his ideas of using encrypted technologies to provide more autonomy, more freedom, more privacy, and more security for the individual resonated really strongly for me, because the whole purpose of Timothy May and the cypherpunks wanting to leverage these tools was for more individual liberty and to get people out of having to deal with government entities. So that already spoke to me in a very strong, palpable way, because it let me know what the purpose of this technology. This technology is not just some lackadaisical, you know, nice tool for making human life easier. It's actually for shifting the focus of society from having people having to deal with government to a more free, libertarian-based economy. So this idea right there, these cyberpunk and crypto-anarchist notions, inspired me greatly to start leveraging these tools, because it would help me, other people, realize that they could live a more free life. And it just starts through adoption. People being able to adopt and use cryptocurrencies already provides them more financial responsibility, because you get to hold your own keys and keep your own currency.
Right. So now that you are, you know, learning about all the different ways that and looking at the core of like why I was built from the first place and getting to work with, you know, the cypherpunks and how it's given the power back to the people, and you discovered all this rich knowledge, what made you decide like, hey, I want to go speak to people about this? So, you know, you said you became part of like, I remember you telling me back in 2018, you did a ton of speaking engagements, especially in the crypto sphere. One, how did you accomplish this? And then two, you know, what would you usually speak on?
That's a great point. So I was already doing public speaking before, you know, I say before, but it might've been around the same time that I got strongly into cryptocurrency. But the first time I did a public talk was actually on anarchism and some ideas that I have been working on in the anarchist community. So all along the same historical timeline of me learning about cryptocurrency, I was also strongly enmeshed in anarchist activism. So I created a Facebook page called Project Anarchist. It was on Facebook, no longer exists because it was censored by Facebook, but it was called, like I said, it was called Psychologic Anarchist. And it had 50,000 followers, and everybody that was involved on that page with me sort of had these ideas of merging psychology and anarchism. And I did that in a series of paper. I actually think I might have given you, showed you those links, or give you those links, Richard, at some point in time, to these three articles that I wrote about what I called relational anarchism. And just to simplify that fact without getting into too much detail, it just means that the more empathy and compassion that we use to connect with other human beings, the closer that we're getting to building a freedom-based society, because governments are antithetical to compassion and to human dignity and decency, because they use violence to achieve their measures in society. So I ironed out this whole, the whole philosophical framework or doctrinal framework for relational anarchism, and I was talking about it a lot online, especially in 2015, 2016, and people online who were influencers in the cryptocurrency and anarchist arena had heard about this, specifically Nathan Freeman, who was following me on Facebook. Anybody who doesn't know him, he's now the former manager of the Anarchapulco Conference. The Anarchapulco Conference is one of the largest anarcho-capitalist, anarchist, and cryptocurrency conferences. It occurs in Acapulco, Mexico, every February during the mid of February. So back in 2017, that was the first time in February I was invited to speak on my ideas at the Anarchapulco conference. And I was simply found online from being a public figure and talking about ideas so much. So I went and spoke at that conference, and then it snowballed after that, and more people started getting into their events. And as I already talked about, I was already engaging in the cryptocurrency ecosystem, so it kind of merged nicely. And then I began to talk about cryptocurrency and its power to affect change in society at conferences also. So everything sort of overlapped with my original speaking engagement, which was a result of the philosophy that I helped create.
Got you. Well, so as you begin to speak on this and educate people and have a unique value prop to, obviously your speech is coming from two different unique areas of anarchism and cryptocurrency. What was the feedback that you began to receive, and like what were your biggest takeaways from people that would come and hear you talk?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I got from all these talks that I was giving is a lot of people, I think, felt that this idea of compassion and human connection and just the psychological components of everything that I was talking about was missing from a lot of the ideas that have been spread around in the crypto and the anarchist communities. People wanted to hear about how we could leverage these philosophies and these ideas to reach and to connect with more people. Because, you know, a lot of times people in the anarchist and cryptocurrency space, they focus more on this sort of hyper-logical, what I call the logical, economic, and moral perspective of things, rather than the human relationship dynamic or the idea of us being able to empathize with other humans and use what Marshall Rosenberg called nonviolent communication. So I incorporated all these ideas into my talks for helping move us forward, simply by saying that it's not just about us being able to, you know, bash and jam logical reasoning into people's heads or moral axioms into people's heads. It's also about connecting with those people, getting to know those people, even if we may consider them different than us in terms of their philosophies, or even as enemies, we can still make a connection and learn how to build the type of community that we want to build together. And that has been what most people have been saying that they love most about my ideas and my philosophies, because this is a huge point that's been missing in everything that we've been doing. And ever since I created relational anarchism, there have been other anarchists who have taken these ideas and ran with them as well. So it looks like I, at least in part, helped spearhead this element of the movement.
Right. No, that's great, man. I'm glad that you've been getting some good feedback and providing this unique perspective and thought process to both of these conversations of both moving, you know, cryptocurrency forward and also anarchism and the blend of originally the creators of cryptocurrency and how it all ties together. I think that's a really unique perspective and important to know, as you know, the future of cryptocurrency is being shaped, knowing where it came from and why it came from, but being able to further that conversation as well is very important to be able to bridge the initial gaps that have been made and are kind of being lost along the way of cryptocurrency as it's being built up. So really appreciate that perspective and being able to speak to that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's something, you know, and it's just absolutely important anyway, because most of us as human beings, we yearn for having connections with other human beings, close connections, especially in an age where we have been more, where people have become more connected with each other through this idea of what Marshall McLuhan called the global village. We've created this vast internet of cyberspace that allows people to connect, you know, on a moment's notice, but to some degree, it's taken away some of the personal or interpersonal elements. But I think that doesn't have to be taken away. We can always still connect with people. And I think that's why there's more and more folks in our communities that are doing a lot of traveling, a lot of connecting at events and conferences. It's because people actually want to experience the connection they're feeling online on a deeper, more emotionally palpable level. So I think that's why it's resonating with so many people, that really our paradigm is shifting, you know, away from this idea of we all have to be like distant strangers, more to this closely connected interpersonal environment or ecosystem that's a really beautiful and wondrous thing. And I think if we can all embrace that, we're really embracing the tides of change.
Yeah. And with that change, I kind of want to shift into another direction and ask you a question. More sure. on the side of cryptocurrency. Can you tell us about some of the a crypto project or a blockchain project that is on your sites that you think people should be paying attention to or has you excited?
Yeah, there's a couple. One I want to mention that I'm really excited about is Ravencoin. So Ravencoin is a fork of the Bitcoin blockchain, and it's specifically used as a way for for individuals to transfer assets to each other. And these assets can be security tokens, stakes in shares, or individualized tokens representing a person or another aspect of a company. And this has been a really important thing to have because a lot of companies are wanting to be able to trade their shares or their stakes among people within the context of that company without having to deal with a lot of the regulations and a lot of the other nonsense that comes with the traditional ecosystem. And I think that's a really awesome thing. I will also mention that I'm a big fan. I'll name two projects if that's okay. I'm also a big fan of Bitcoin Cash and what's happening on the Bitcoin Cash network because it's becoming truly the internet of money. People are starting to build projects and protocols on top of Bitcoin Cash that allow them to exchange and transfer value and create relationships on top of this blockchain that haven't really existed before. Now, one of the things that's been created, just as an example, is this platform called. It's a Patreon version for Bitcoin Cash. It's called Honest.Cash, and it allows people to have subscribers, or eventually will. The platform exists right now, but currently it's based on upvotes. You can upvote somebody's content. You can give them Bitcoin Cash, and soon you'll be able to subscribe to that content like you can on Patreon and give people monetary contributions for the work that they're creating. The site looks really beautiful. Of course, it's in beta phase, but this is just one amazing project. All kinds of different projects and platforms are going to be built on top of these blockchains, and they're going to grow tremendously. More people are going to get involved in it all. And to come around full circle, it goes back to this whole cypherpunk crypto anarchist movement where people are starting to gain more autonomy, more financial responsibility for themselves because they're able to leverage these blockchains without having other people like governments impinge on their activity or infringe on their personal rights. So it's really an amazing thing. So Bitcoin Cash is doing, Ravencoin is awesome. And there's just a myriad of awesome cryptocurrency space that are helping us move forward. And this is still just the early stages. Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, this whole ecosystem embryo.
Yeah, we're definitely still at the very beginning of it. And thank you for, you know, telling us a little bit more about Bitcoin Cash and Ravencoin and all the good things that they're building on top of it. As you said, like, as we get to widespread adoption and usability, it's all about building platforms, I want to call them. I mean, you know, these cryptocurrencies are basically being platforms that other cryptos can be built on top of, but they need to be strong. They need to have use cases. They need to be practical, and they also need to create communities that make sense. And I'm glad to hear that these coins are these cryptocurrencies are moving towards that and building use cases that can move towards widespread adoption and making it easier for other people to use in an everyday use case.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the big things in the space is that if these cryptocurrencies and blockchain projects aren't actually useful, if they just become speculative assets, what it looks like Bitcoin's become a little bit of, because it's very difficult for people to build on top of it because the opcodes haven't been enabled like they have on Bitcoin Cash. Well, then what it just creates is a speculative asset. But in order to gain mass adoption, to get more people using this technology and to move us in the direction we want to move, people have to find uses and easy use cases for people to leverage that solve some type of problem in their lives. And if it doesn't, well, then the point has just been missed. We're kind of just diddling away at nothing, right? Nothing's happening. But now with a lot of these projects, we're actually creating use cases. We're creating actual tools for people to leverage that betters their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, on that same thought, I kind of have two final questions for you, right? So the first one was, so with everything that's going on in cryptocurrency and even going back to like you speaking at all these different events, what is something on the horizon in the space that you are very excited about, or that you are ready for something either to happen or to change, or what do you think the future of cryptocurrency and blockchains looking like?
Yeah, this is a really great question. So I think there's a couple of answers to this question. The first one is, what am I personally working on or personally excited about? So what I think is happening in this space is, all these blockchain technologies are creating an environment where people want more access to not only to human connections, but to information and to ideas of the people involved in these spaces, because there is such a tremendous amount of change. So one of the projects that I'm actually involved in is sort of ancillary to the cryptocurrency space. It's a speaking agency that I'm helping to co-found right now. And it's called Millennium Speaking. And the whole goal of this is going to be to help bring anarchist and cryptocurrency speakers more into the mainstream of thought, because the mainstream, or what we call mainstream, is shifting. It's going to go away from these old antiquated models of finance, models of governance, and move into this new model, which really it includes the process of decentralization. It includes the process of peer-to-peer relationships. It also includes this idea of, we're looking for those closer connections and relationships. So what this project's going to actually do is create a hub for some of the most challenging speakers, the most paradigmatic shifting speakers and players in the space, and bring them to the world, to different types of events who may not be ready or haven't been ready to hear this message. So really, that's what it's about. It's about getting the message out to people as possible. And right now, a lot of these ideas, people are considered fringe, right? But it's really moving into the mainstream now, and we need outlets to get these folks and these ideas and these projects out to as many people as possible and get people to understand that part of the mainstream. So that's one thing. That's the thing that I'm working on that I'm excited about. The other thing is, I'm really excited about using these technologies to actually create governance models in societies, right? There's a few projects that sort of express this, and I'll just mention those to provide an example. One is called BitNation, and BitNation is a project friend Susan Tarkovsky Templehoff has been working on. And the idea behind BitNation is people actually be part of a borderless nation, a nation. And this, they're even considering creating autonomous passports for individuals to use that are part of this decentralized digital nation. It also allows people to voluntarily contract and be involved in. Currently, with the governments that exist, people are subordinate to governments. They have to, if they're born in a territory organization, they have to be part of that government, or they it's what used to be true. Now it's, the opportunity has arisen due to blockchain technology and other technologies like artificial intelligence. People are going to be able to opt in to different digital governance that have sort of their own rules and own relationships, and these may be loosely tied to different territorial regions, but this is really where we're moving in terms of how the world is shifting into this global village, as McLuhan talked about, as people are starting to want more options and more freedoms in society. So it's really a beautiful horizon that we're working toward.
Absolutely. And I think, so just to put a bow on top of all this, because you've made a lot of really great points today and looking at where we're headed and the opportunities in it and bridging the gap with where cryptocurrency started and the people who made it and what you're moving towards with anarchism and how it ties back into cryptocurrency and where it's headed and building up these communities and these people that'll come together to give the power back to the people. What is like a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners today?
Yeah, I think the most important point here is that at the end, what all these technologies are about is freeing people to explore possibilities and to create authentic relationships with other humans. So I'll say that again. It's about freeing people so that they may explore possibilities of their life and create new authentic relationships with other human beings. That, in my mind, is the ultimate goal of not only the cryptocurrency ecosystem, but it's also part of the goal of all these philosophical changes in society that's happening. So it's the combination of these two primary points, freedom and relationships, that are helping to build and to sculpt the new world.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really, really great final thought to leave us with, and one that people can use to change their perspective and think about what are we moving towards and what are we building all this for ultimately. And Sterling, if do you have any where can people find you? How can people get in touch with you, find more about the different work that you've done? Of course, we're going to add all this to the show notes, but for people that are listening, how can they find your work?
Yeah, so I can be found as, if anyone wants to book me to speak, or if they want to consult with me, or they simply want to see what read my articles and see where my next conference events are, they can go to www.sterlinlujan.com. It's just my first name, last name.com. Or they can find me on Facebook at Sterling Lujan. And those are the two primary places. And also on Twitter, Sterling Lujan. People can find me and read about what I'm working on, what I'm doing, and get involved with any potential project that I'm involved in.
Perfect. Well, Sterling, thanks again for being on the show and just sharing a bit about yourself, your background, and what you're working on and what you're working towards, and just dropping all this value to our listeners today. So thank you so much, and look forward to having more conversations with you in the future.
Absolutely. Look forward to the same, Richard.
All right. Thank you. And everyone, this has been another episode of CryptoCurrent. Stay CryptoCurrent. Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency by signing up for our newsletter. You will receive a daily email Monday through Sunday that is personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Get your tickets today. We are throwing the first cryptocurrency and blockchain conference in New Orleans in March 2019. You can get your tickets today at www.crypto-currentconf.co.
This has been another episode of Crypto Current, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay Crypto Current.
Use available exits now.